It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice searching for truth and clarity as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And ultimately, socialism comes down to force. It's not about free stuff. That's just the stuff to get you to vote for socialism. But ultimately, socialism runs out of everybody else's money. And what the government giveth, the government can taketh away, Producer Steve.
Ain't it true?
And yet, there's... You see it. You know, keep your ears open. And like the story you were just telling me a little while ago about Patty getting gas... There's a whole bunch of people
maybe
out there.
Maybe you should clarify.
Let me rephrase that. The story you told me about Patty putting gasoline in her vehicle. Bad. We're going to hear from Patty, I can tell.
I'm going to be looking at my phone here. For sure.
The point I was trying to make, there's a whole bunch of people out there who don't really get what's going on.
But they are waking up, particularly if you're filling up with gas next to Patty, for sure. That's and that voice that you heard was Producer Steve. I get to work with this great team, and that's Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting, and I also get to work with some really super partners. And two of them are in studio with me today, and they sponsor both the shows, both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. And Karen Levine, award-winning realtor, RE/MAX Alliance. It's so great to have you here.
It's good to be here. It's always brutal to get up at this hour, but once you're here, you're excited, right?
And it goes quickly, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren Levy, mortgage specialist, Polygon Financial Group. You two haven't been in studio together for a while, so it's great to have you here.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
And again, you guys are sponsors of both the shows. I so appreciate that. And be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And click on the sponsors tab. I highly recommend each and every one of them. And Hooters Restaurants is also a great sponsor of the show. And today is Wednesday, so it's Wings Day. You buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. That's for to go or to dine in, and that's on all their wings, whether or not it's their Daytona or their naked wings, their smoked or their boneless, all of their wings. So be sure and check that out. That is on my website, kimmunson.com. And let's see. Let's go to our quote for today, because we're going to be talking about homeownership. Property rights. James Madison is always a great one to go to for property rights. And of course, the quote at the end of the day or at the end of the show is a really important one. But this one, with the infrastructure bill that was just passed, what, 2,700 pages long? James Madison, founding father, realized that there could be a problem with that. And this is what he said. Well, first of all, he was an American statesman, diplomat, expansionist, philosopher, and founding father. He was the fourth president of the United States, and he is hailed as the father of the Constitution for his pivotal role in drafting and promoting the Constitution of the United States. He was born in 1751. He died in 1836. He was a pretty remarkable guy. And one thing is, as they were trying to ratify the Constitution, there were those that said, different states that said, we do not want to ratify this without a Bill of Rights. And he said, if you ratify this, we will come back with a Bill of Rights. And they did ratify it, and that's what he did. Would you trust a politician today, Lorne?
They always give you what they say they're going to do after the fact.
Yeah, but he did what he said he was going to do. So that's pretty awesome. So, okay, here's our quote for today. It will be of little avail to the people that the laws are made by men and their own choice if the laws are so voluminous that they cannot be read or so incoherent that they cannot be understood. Karen Levine, we got a lot of that going around these days.
Did you say 2,700 pages?
I think that's what it was, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah. And I'm just trying to envision, in my imagination, Madison sitting at his desk when the clerk comes around and plunks that 2,700-page monster on his desk.
You know, that, I was just thinking about it. That is one of the negatives of the printing press. There's no way that they could have actually written 2,700 pages back then, but now it's no problem. And my understanding, Karen, and we'll get to this in the third and fourth segment, is that there is an assault on homeownership in this infrastructure bill.
Well, you and I have sort of had these conversations. We have had these conversations, and there is, to my understanding, something in there about incentivizing states and municipalities to get rid of single-family zoning.
I tell you what, we've got to talk about that in the third and fourth segment because that is such a great way for everyday people to create wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will talk about that here in just a moment. Several headlines. Steve, let's see. On our pre-call, there was the one that we know that President Biden, let's see, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline. He's supporting Putin's pipeline over in Europe. We now have gas prices that have gone up anywhere from 60 to 70%. And now he's begging OPEC to produce and sell more oil to us. That looks pretty incompetent, Steve.
Well, at least in Colorado and probably all across the nation, supply dropped below the demand. And we all know what that means. But what was said right from the get-go when he dropped Keystone was the fact that he was tweaking demand, or he was tweaking supply, and this was going to be the natural outcome. So yeah, incompetence, you, but yeah, what I asked you on the pre-call, of all these disasters that are sitting there staring him in the face right now, is it incompetence or is it the plan?
Boy, we don't know for sure. Stay tuned because we will find out. But for sure, it looks very incompetent. And we'll talk with Bear Owen in this second segment. He's a Vietnam veteran, about his feelings as we're watching the people at the Afghan or at the Kabul airport and how that looks like Saigon. It's actually Saigon on steroids, I think.
I think the other thing I wanted to ask you was, can we envision, again, Biden with his hat in his hand going to OPEC and other countries as well, asking for increased production to try and bring down the price of gasoline here in the U.S.? I mean, what do these countries think of us right now?
Not only in that particular arena, but just bear in mind, when Biden went into the White House, that particular point in time, America was energy independent. And another headline here, this is from the Center Square. It says that Biden gears up for his renewed fight against oil and gas. It says a federal judge has ruled the Biden administration must resume allowing oil and gas leasing on federal land and waters. But the administration is saying it will not go down without a fight. The Biden administration said it will appeal a court ruling allowing the leases, the latest development in a months-long battle between President Joe Biden and the oil and gas industry, even as gas prices continue to rise. And increased energy prices, Lauren Levy, hurts everyday hardworking people because it takes money out of their pocket when they're filling up with gas, and we haven't even gotten into the winter season. And that's money that they could be using to take care of their families. Or Karen, we were talking about saving up for a house. Mm-hmm. It's just beyond belief, Lauren.
Yeah, it hurts everything, and it's something you have to buy, you know. They got to be able to get to their jobs wherever they're going, and I'm a family of four with four vehicles. And I had all four vehicles fill up the other day.
Oh, dear.
I was like, oh, my Lord, my credit card was buzzing.
I'm sure.
And it's crazy.
I know. And it does not, my friends, it does not have to be like this. And one other thing before we get to Casper Stockham, and that is that, let's see here, what was it we were going to say? Oh, Steve, it was regarding Jeffco schools. We've seen that kids, it's been a very difficult year, and our kids being able to read, write, and do arithmetic, their ability to do that is going down, and our kids are falling behind. And then guess what? This is from the Daily Wire. It says, the second largest school district in Colorado is instructing teachers not to inform parents if their child shows persistent signs of gender confusion. It says, Jeffco Public School District in the nearby Denver area sent out a toolkit for supporting transgender and gender-expansive nonconforming students to teachers. The toolkit included a picture of the gender unicorn, which claims that there is a difference between gender identity, gender expression, sex assigned at birth, and whom people are both physically and emotionally attracted to. One Jeffco parent reached out to the Daily Wire, concerned that the school would not inform parents if their child is over the age of 11. According to the school guidance, if a child at secondary school uses a different name, gender, or is using different pronouns at school, teachers are not required to inform the parents. This is beyond belief to me. And we can't figure out why our kids can't read, write, and do arithmetic when, in essence, we are pushing these agendas of sexualizing our children through the LGBTQ Planned Parenthood curriculum and also dividing our kids through the CRT, critical race theory, or iterations thereof. We need to get back to teaching our kids reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, science, history, and give them the tools that they need to live successful lives. And one of the ways that we do that is we elect people that will stand on principle. And Casper Stockham is the founder of America First Republicans, and he is doing just that. He is training candidates and getting them ready to run for office. Casper Stockham, welcome to the show.
Good morning. You guys are hot on the trail.
We are hot on the trail. And you are doing some really important work, and that is the other side. The radical activists have a program called Emerge, where they are training women to run for office and win. And they have been very successful, but they are basically training Marxist or socialist women to run that are pushing that agenda. And we can see that with Faith Winter down at the State House. We can see that with Candy Sitabaka on the Denver City Council. And so you are stepping forward to address that, Casper.
Yes, we are. And we're training them on some radical things, too, like the Constitution and Republican Party platform, you know, that very few Republicans follow, by the way. You know, so we need to do a lot of work in. And we're just at the beginning stages. Emerge has been around for many years now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just getting started, but we definitely plan to do very similar things in the coming years as we grow. We've had about 50 candidates go through the process so far. Now, everybody that goes through is not automatically a candidate or running for office. Some of them volunteer for campaigns that they find. Others step up and become a candidate. So we've had several announce this cycle that they're going to run. In fact, I believe one guy is running for the school board up in Adams County, I believe.
Those are important races.
Yes, yes. You know, we're finding out that all local is where it's at right now. So we definitely need to be challenging folks at all the races across the state. But the challenge is, Kim, is that there are thousands of offices that we're not, well, thousands of offices that we need to be challenging, you know, Democrats on, whether they're quote unquote nonpartisan or not. You know, they're still partisan, and we need to be challenging on all of those races. So our goal was 250 students by the end of the year, but we're halfway through the year, so we got some work to do. And we need money. You know, we're a nonprofit, so we need to be able to advertise, get the word out about what we're doing.
Well, that is very important. So how can people get more information, Casper?
Yes, they can go to AmericaFirstRepublicans.us. That's our website. They can also just type in America First Republicans on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. We have a class coming up next month on the 25th of September. And that class is filling up, so they can get signed up from the website or from our Facebook page. And then we have a great fundraising event coming up on September the 11th. So we have several events around that time frame. We have an evening event down in Parker for a remembrance of 9/11. And then we have a clay shooting fun event on Kiowa on the 11th in the morning. We have a VIP breakfast, and then we have the shooting, and then we have a lunch after that. And then that evening, we're going down to El Paso and connecting up with Vicky Tompkins to do another remembrance. So it's going to be a remembrance weekend, a fundraising weekend, and just a time for us Patriots to get together and start doing start taking some action.
Well, I really appreciate you doing that, Casper. And again, that next class is September 25th. And whether or not you want to be a candidate or want to help people that are candidates, I would highly recommend that. I know that Eric Odlin, that has gone through your class, is running for U.S. Yes. Senate. And so, yes, you are equipping people to go out and win. So, Casper Stockham, thank you so much. We'll talk to you very soon.
All right, Kim, thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to break. In studio with me is award-winning realtor Karen Levine, great sponsor of the show, and Lauren Levy. He is a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, and we'll be talking about home ownership in the third and fourth segment, but I cannot wait to talk with Bear Owen in this second segment. He is a Vietnam veteran, and I called him the other day about something else, and he and I both were watching the television, I think, at the same time, and I could hear in his voice just this concern as we were watching what was happening, unfolding in Afghanistan. And I said, would you come on the radio and talk about it? And he said, sure. So we'll be right back with Bear Owen.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
If you change your mind, take a chance on the first thing.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. And in studio is with me is two of our great sponsors of both the shows, Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance Realtor and Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. This next conversation is going to be very important. Bear Owen is on the line, and he is a Marine fighter pilot, a veteran of the Vietnam War. So I guess he was. You're not still a Marine fighter pilot, right, Bear?
I will be a Marine fighter pilot till the day I get thrown over.
Okay. You know what? I try to get that right. Once a Marine, always a Marine, for sure. Yeah. Bear, you and I, well, I've interviewed you for our America's Veteran Story show, and you and I met at Cooper's Troopers, which is this group of Marines that meets up once a month up in North Denver, and it's primarily combat veterans. And I've learned over the years, Bear, I knew that combat veteran, I knew there was something there, but I didn't just quite understand the brotherhood of combat veterans. And so it's a pretty powerful room when you walk into that room with all of you guys.
It is. They're like brothers to me.
I know.
And sisters. Don't forget Paula.
I won't forget Paula Sarles, that's for sure. And what she's doing for the Marine Memorial out here in Golden to get that refurbished and remodeled is truly, truly amazing. And yes. Let's see, people can help out. Is it usmarinememorialfund.org, I think is what it is. But, Bear, I was calling you about something else the other day, and I think you and I were both watching the television of what was unfolding in Kabul. Is that how you say it? Is
Kabul.
It Kabul? Okay. Kabul. And the people that were hanging off of the airplane and running in front of the airplane, and I could hear in your voice, it was bringing back memories of Saigon. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, when I saw that C-17 taxiing, trying to get out of that huge mob of people that were screaming to get on the airplane, brought back instantly memories of Ed Daly, who was chairman of World Airways, taxiing as Da Nang was falling, taxiing his 727 for takeoff. And those Vietnamese Arvin soldiers were climbing into the cargo hold and hanging onto the airplane. It was deja vu for me, and it just reminded me of what a tragedy it was, and how I've carried the shame and humiliation of the fall of Saigon and the helicopters lifting off the roof. We're seeing that repeated again, that I've had to carry around with me for the way we despicably let down our South Vietnamese allies because of a left-wing cabal in the U.S. Congress that wouldn't live up to our commitments to the South Vietnamese to provide air power in the situation that we were facing at that point. So, yes, yeah, the parallels are unmistakable, and you know, it's just very, very depressing to watch it.
So, Bear Owen, I had Helen Raleigh on the show yesterday, and she immigrated from China. She is truly a patriot. She's written several books, and she's also an author at The Federalist. And we talked a little bit afterwards as well. She's going to be on the show next week. She is angry at, I am angry at what we see here. And our standing in the world, our trust with our allies, it's gone right now from what I can see, Bear.
Well, it's deeply endangered, and I shudder to think we're going to go through another generation of what we went through after Vietnam, where our allies don't know whether they can trust us or not, and our potential enemies and adversaries don't respect the power that President Trump had restored, the Theodore Roosevelt idea of peace through strength. Also, Ronald Reagan reiterated that in the 80s. And I'm really deeply in fear for what our country is facing over the next generation, the next decades.
Well, I am as well, Bear. And when I looked at, there was a picture that was taken of all these people on this airplane. First of all, they were not socially distanced, and I'm not sure that they had to provide a vaccine card like you have to do now in New York to go to a restaurant. And they were packed into this cargo hold. But my understanding is that there was only, out of 600 or 700 people, there was only like about 140, 150 Americans. Bear, yesterday.
Yeah, and no women, no Afghan women. These men are leaving their families, their women, their wives, their children behind, which is just unimaginable to me.
Boy, I hadn't thought about that. So yesterday, I had to get a new ice maker in my refrigerator. And then it turned out that the cubes weren't working, so I needed to have the repair guy come back out. And he came back out yesterday. And he knocked on the door, and I said, you know what? It's almost embarrassing to say to you that I'm concerned that my ice maker won't make cubes. It only makes crushed ice with all that's going on in the world. And I was just thinking about it, Bear, how lucky we have been in America. And you and all these guys at Cooper's and all of our Marines and our soldiers, men and women, that have been willing to strap on your boots and go out and stand against tyranny, so that when Americans are, quote unquote, sheltering in place in Kabul, and they can't get to the airport because the Taliban has, my understanding, has made a circular perimeter. How are they going to eat? How are they going to get out of there? And I'm thinking, here I am. I'm just worried about whether or not my ice maker will make cubes or crushed ice. I'm like, I am one lucky girl.
Yeah, we're all very lucky to live in this country. Not everyone appreciates it. And the numbers are staggering. There's probably, we don't really know how many Americans and our allies from NATO are trapped outside the ring of Taliban around the airport. But it's somewhere around 30,000. And then I've heard a number as high as 100,000 to 200,000 potential refugees who face slaughter at the hands of the Taliban if we don't get them out. It's a logistical problem that didn't have to happen. It's all on Biden. There's no question about it. Everybody agreed that, well, not everybody, but the majority of Americans agreed that we needed to stop being in Afghanistan. And it's not a question of whether we stayed, but it's a question of how we ended our participation in that war. And it looks like the Biden administration had no plan at all for how to do this. I mean, taking out our military leadership and a lot of our troops before this happened it's despicable. There's no other word for it.
Well, and they also closed down an air base, didn't they? That would have been...
Yeah, they turned Bagram over to the nothingness, which was the vacuum, which was has been quickly filled by the Taliban. We invested billions of dollars in building and maintaining that Air Force base, and now it's gone. It's in the hands of the Taliban. It's unbelievable.
It is really, really incompetent. I'm going to just, I have Lauren Levy and Karen Levine. Did you have any questions, Lauren, for Bear, or any comments on this?
No, I mean, I've been watching the same, and obviously he has a lot more insight as to its comparisons to Vietnam. I wasn't around for that, you know, so it's amazing to hear the, you know, how alike they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Karen?
I just find it really sobering, and my church adopted a community outside of Kabul 13 years ago, and... it's like the Lafayette, Colorado in Afghanistan. And they created a community and they were self-sustaining. And our fear is they were picked up by dump trucks 15 years ago and taken out to the middle of the desert and dumped there. They created community there. And our fear is that they literally will be slaughtered.
Because they're Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Bear Owen... I don't really know what to say. I'm so concerned for our America's future on this. But I think where I take heart is for men like you, that we stand on the shoulders of giants, and it began in the Revolutionary War, where people were willing to put their lives on the line to stand against tyranny and evil. And that is something that is inherently American. And we have to take heart in that, and we have to continue to have these conversations. But I think we also have to pray, Bear. We just have to pray for these people.
Totally agree.
What's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today, Bear Owen?
Well, Joe Biden. The mess that he's created domestically, the open border situation, which is of monstrous proportions. I took the measure of the man in 2010. We had an A6 intruder reunion in Washington, D.C. And one of the events that we attended was at the Marine Barracks, the Sunset Parade, which is an institution in the Marine Corps where you have the finest Marine Corps display tattoo, if you will. And the night that we went, to see this fantastic military parade by the Marines at the Marine Barracks at 8th and I Streets in Washington, which was spared by the British in 1812, in the War of 1812, because of the respect that they had for American Marines.
Wow.
Even that early in our history. A very historic place, and it burns in the hearts of every Marine who's been there. Joe Biden was the reviewing officer for the parade that night as Vice President of the United States. And as those Marines stood at strict parade rest, very uncomfortable position, Joe Biden showed up 30 minutes late. That's when I knew what kind of respect or lack of respect that man had for the military. And when he was introduced and walked out in quadrangle, the parade field, the applause was very muted. It was embarrassing for a vice president, sitting vice president of the United States. Well, he's proven to us what kind of man he is.
Well, we must pray. We must engage in this battle of ideas. And Bear Owen, I so appreciate you coming on and talking about this today. And again, a fighter pilot, Marine fighter pilot, served during the Vietnam War. Bear Owen, thank you so much.
Anytime, Kim.
Okay. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Lauren Levy and Karen Levine.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for a weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me, I think we're very sobering, this last segment. And thinking about what's happening in Afghanistan, in studio with me is two of my great partners, and that is Karen Levine, REMAX Realtor with the REMAX Alliance, and Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group, Mortgage Specialist. But Lauren, you just said it. What about the girls? First of all, what kind of a guy leaves wives and daughters behind when you've got the Taliban and what they do to women? I mean, can you honestly think about what kind of man is that?
I have no idea. I can't even imagine what these Taliban men, never mind the people that left, but the Taliban have so little respect for women, and they just, how do you do that? It's so foreign. I have no idea.
I know it. And here, so many women are so excited. Where's Kamala Harris on this? You know, where is she on this? Because there are women and girls and boys as well that are being victimized by the Taliban as we speak. And again, here we are. It's hard to believe. You know, when you and Karen, you travel quite a bit. Isn't it kind of interesting when you are in a different country, a different time zone, and you think about that everything that's occurring there, and then everything's just kind of normal back home. I hope we get to keep normal. There's there's the blessings of the mundane, and I hope we get to keep that, Karen.
Yeah, and I think what's fearful is that we don't know what normal is. We haven't experienced normal in about 18 months plus, but during that period of time, there's been a lot of work happening in Washington that is detrimental to, as you have noted, Kim, the middle class, and to building wealth and independence as individual Americans, but also as a nation. And the conversations that we're having at coffee and, you know, cocktail hour or whatever with friends and family, is there a revolution about to happen? Are we going to stand for what our nation believes in? And when I talked to a broker that I did a transaction with who immigrated here from India, and he still claims that we are the greatest nation on earth because of where he came from. But you just look at how so many of our values are being disintegrated, and it's just, you listen to Bear, and it just, the environment that we are existing in right now is troublesome.
Well, Lauren Levy, if we're such a nasty country, like so many of the radical activists say all the time, why is it that there's plane loads of people that want to get in here? Why is there people that are at the border that want to get in here? I mean, quite frankly, I'm not seeing a border crisis in Russia or China or North Korea or Cuba. I don't see people rowing their boats over from America to Cuba.
Maybe we should just implement a one-in, one-out, like at a bar. You know, for everyone that wants to get out because they hate it here, they get on the boat and go the other way.
I like it.
I like that, too. I like that, too. So, Karen, let's jump over here. You are this has been a journey, really, for both of us. From a public policy standpoint, when we talk about unaffordable housing, first of all, there is an unaffordable, quote-unquote, affordable housing industrial complex. And we have seen it's public policy that has made homes more and more expensive. For example, in Denver, when the city council passed an ordinance that said that new construction and many remodels had to make sure that they had a vehicle electric charging station in their garages, well, maybe that person doesn't want that. But then they are forced to do that. It ups the price. And then I also learned when I was on city council that all the building code people get together every few years and they have a big meeting. And they're actually lobbied to institute new codes, which would make things more expensive. So, for example, the sprinkler lobby, the sprinkler building sprinkler mm-hmm. group, they wanted to mandate that all houses had to be totally had sprinklers mm-hmm. in them. Well, that increases the cost. And if people want that, they should be able to choose that. But we see this, all of these public policies are increasing the cost of housing. Mm-hmm. And we're particularly seeing that playing out in Colorado right now.
We are. We're seeing it in a lot of different areas. You mentioned City and County of Denver, who now is requiring registering all investment properties. And most of those properties are owned by small individual mom and pops, you and me, just homeowners that have chosen to build wealth through real estate. And that just is another level of bureaucracy, which involves cost. I was sent the agenda for Castle Rock's City Council this week, and they are looking at imposing a fee on new construction for each new house, and it's based on square footage, and it will up the cost of construction, which will up the cost of the house coming to the consumer, and yet all the conversation across the nation is affordability. So you add fees to cause affordability?
What are they going to use that for? For affordable housing?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what they're... But in the meantime, it impedes on somebody being able to afford to buy the house.
Right.
Right?
Right. And then the few people that, quote-unquote, get affordable housing, government gets into picking winners and losers then.
Exactly.
So instead of increasing the cost for affordable housing, how about you reduce rules and regulations so that across the spectrum, there is more of an opportunity for more people to be able to afford a house. Lauren Levy, what's your thoughts?
I think they think that if they put the charge on the builder, that they're sticking it to the big man, kind of like the Wall Street, Main Street thing. But really, those fees get passed down to the end buyer. No one's just going to take losses. That's not how business
works. Well, they can't stay in business if they're...
No. Yeah. And so I think they just don't think it through. Even with affordable housing, I've had clients of mine that have purchased those, but then they're capped on how much those values can go up. The thought process being that the next person coming behind them would be able to buy it, but then you're just stopping wealth, you know,
wealth creation
for that person.
So what ends up happening is the ideal of the free market is literally either obstructed or taken away. And in a free market, you use the example of having, you know, the electric plug-in in the garage for your electric vehicle. If I believe there's value in that, I choose to add it to my home, and it makes my home more attractive, I will get more money for my home for having that benefit, that asset. Mm-hmm. But when government starts to get involved in those decision-making, the cost of everything just goes up. That's what happens.
And then they scream affordable housing, mm-hmm. affordable housing. Another thing I am very concerned about, and Karen, you and I did a show on the World Economic Forum, and it's not a conspiracy theory if it's true, and if you can go to their website and find out this is what they really say. And their goal is by 2030, they say nobody will own anything and they'll be happy about it. Well, who will own it will be the elites. But the American idea has been that we have this big, broad middle class where people are able to thrive and prosper, pursue their dreams, their life, their liberty, their pursuit of happiness. And that's what's been so special about America. I mean, I think about it. You go like around the station, there's all these different ethnic restaurants. So many times this may be immigrants that have come here legally, that they know how to make their cuisine, mm-hmm. and they have opened up a little restaurant. And then last year, we had PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that shut those businesses down. I mean, I drive by those, and I think, those are just people's dreams. Lauren, what's your thoughts on that?
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, I'm self-employed. Karen is self-employed. We had the opportunity at one point or another to take a risk and start. You know, we could have worked for a major corporation or something like that, but we decided to try to build wealth our own way with flexibility in our lives. And, you know, I don't want that to not be an option for our children or grandchildren, that, you know, there's five winners and everyone works for them. I think of, like, the oligarchs in Russia, and those guys have all the money because mm-hmm. Putin's chosen the winners, you know, mm-hmm. of his inner circle, and everyone else just kind of works for those companies, you know, yeah. and just maintains the status quo when... You know, you'd want to hope you could get a nicer home or, you know, travel or do things with your family that you want to do if you've earned it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there's a difference, Karen, I think, between living and existing. And again, I think that's why so many people want to come here. But we've got to get away from this this entitlement with people coming here for free stuff. And there are those that have hidden behind that and said it's compassionate. But it's not compassionate to forcibly take money from one person to give to another person via government just because government thinks that that's okay. It's a form of theft, and we've got to stop that because it's been an assault on the American dream.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting. I've been looking at lots of different brokerage models that have been coming out over the years, and why did I choose RE/MAX? And I chose RE/MAX over 30 years ago, and I chose RE/MAX because Max, that part of our name, had to do with receiving 100% of the fee, and then I got to choose how to spend that, my earnings. Did I want to spend it towards this type of marketing and these types of services, or did I want to spend it over here? So I controlled my money. I paid my fee to be at RE/MAX, which was very capitalistic. It was very lovely, and mm-hmm. I liked having that control. What's interesting is many of the brokerage models that are coming out and are very, very popular and are very successful, they are providing all those services. Now, there's a cost for those agents to go there and get all those services, but our mindset is changing. That has come through, I always use the put the frog in the tepid water and then mm-hmm. turn the heat up, and you don't know that the frog ends up dying because you weren't paying
attention.
Boil him,
yeah.
You
mm-hmm.
boil him to death. I think that's what's happening sociologically in our nation, is that the more we're given, the better off we are. Mm-hmm. But there's a price that you pay to have all of that. Mm-hmm. And each taxpayer is paying for that, and maybe for stuff they don't want.
Well, and that's the other thing is you see, as the money goes by, though, the PBIs make sure that they take their cut. And actually, when they say that they're getting money over here to help people, there's a lot of folks on affordable housing, homelessness. We're looking at this LEAP thing, this learning enrichment and academic progress plan that's going to be on the ballot this year. Is they make sure that they take their stuff off the top and before it gets over here to people that they want to help. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about taxation and how I see that as the hidden agenda that they're using to try to get to you won't own anything. So I want to get both your thoughts on that. Before we do that, another great sponsor of both the shows is Castlegate Knife and Tool. And they have several different lines of watches. They're going to be doing some watch specials on that. So keep tuned for that, or stay tuned for that. But if you're a collector, if you're a chef, if you are a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool, they have a wider array of knives and tools. So be sure and check that out. That's Castlegate.com. It's Castlegate.com. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. We'll be right back with Lauren Levy and Karen Levine.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage.
Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Karen Levine, we are seeing several different things. First of all, a couple of houses have come up for sale right around me. Mm-hmm. And they have sold to, my understanding is, big investor groups that they're becoming rentals. And I had mentioned that actually the one family has already moved in and they're really fine neighbors. But moving to communities of all rentals can change the fabric of that. And so we, as old neighbors that have been around, we've been concerned about not selling to families, but to selling to investors. But to your point, property rights, we want to honor that for sure. But when these investors are coming in and paying above the asking price, and everybody around is like, oh, my property has gone up in value, but they're not moving, and so they're going to pay more in taxes, in a way that kind of starts to chip away at the value of their home. I'm concerned that we may get taxed out of our homes. What's your thoughts?
Well, that was a lot. I do think that there's some concern in with regards to the values and the appreciation we've seen in the marketplace. Great for the homeowner who wants to get their equity out and has a plan, whether that's retirement, to move to a different part of our nation where it's more affordable. But here locally, it makes affordability even more challenging, right? Mm-hmm. But then, interesting conversation, we heard a presentation from the City and County of Denver on a bond issue that's going to go forth to the voters, and it has to do with keeping the mills at the same level, but renewing these bonds, because I don't understand that bond thing, probably. Mm-hmm. Lauren, the financial dude, understands that bond thing, but I kept saying, but if people's assessed value goes up, doesn't that mean they pay more taxes?
And they said?
Well, but we're keeping the mill levy at the same
time.
So the sales pitch was really very smooth. But I kept saying, but doesn't that mean that taxes will go up? So again, like you said, Kim, as homes appreciate, that's beneficial if you're trying to get your equity out. But if you're trying to stay there and live day to day, month to month, your property taxes are going to go up.
I really think at this particular point in time, they have plenty of money. I think the answer should be no.
Anecdotally on that, Kim, just a real life experience. Yesterday, I made a call to a title company because I'm working on a refinance for someone who lives up by the airport.
Okay.
He bought his house a year and a half ago. His taxes in 2020 were $3,050. I'm trying to refi him now, and they've come out and reassessed, and his taxes are $6,090. They doubled. And the mill levy stayed the same. Mm-hmm. The mill, but the value they're multiplying it by doubled.
Boy, this bond issue, we need to get more information about that. So I wonder what that's happening. And in my town, they are actually proposing a 55% increase in our sales tax.
I saw that.
People on Nextdoor app coming after you on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you guys have benefited from low sales tax for a really long time, so I guess now they're trying to get you.
Well, now, okay, shall we talk just a little? Yes, I did have a letter to the editor as well. First of all, my town, Lone Tree, when we incorporated, there were 3,000 people there. There's now 14,000 people, so the population has increased 400%. So there's more people that's paying taxes. Inflation has occurred. So the price that we pay for the same goods and services has gone up, so we're paying more in taxes there. And then this mayor and the previous mayor, they really fought to make sure that you got your online purchases taxed as well. So as we've come through this last year, and I didn't really see them out there fighting for our businesses. They were all into this essential, non-essential thing. And we saw many of our businesses, obviously, it was very difficult for them. So I think they need to tighten their belt. They have these shareback agreements with just a few select different organizations and businesses where they collect the business collects the sales tax, and then the city gives back some of that sales tax to them. It's like, well, that's not really fair, because other businesses aren't
working
getting that deal.
Working just as hard, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then they have been... It's just amazing how much they've spent on capital projects. But the shining star is that almost $7 million bridge that spans Lincoln. And I hardly ever see anybody walking on that. And a lot of people question those lavish expenditures. So I think maybe they need to tighten their belt. And we do not, and I've seen a few things on Nextdoor about, well, we need more services from the government. It's like, wait a minute. The government is there for a limited amount of things, and we should not be looking to the government to provide services, because, Lauren, what the government giveth, the government can taketh away.
That's right. I followed you on that, and I know people are like, well, then we would lose our trash collection. It's like, well, you wouldn't lose it. You just might have to pay for it. Well, but what's the overall cost benefit analysis on that, you know?
Well, and the trash, that's kind of an interesting thing, because in order to get the city to incorporate, that was one of the things that there's always selling things is we will pay for your trash service. So in kind of the original vintage part of Lone Tree, they've been paying for trash service for residential homes. But then there's other homes that they're not. And I'm seeing people go, wait a minute, you don't have to pay for your trash service. But quite frankly, what they're talking about where they're, I think they're trying to scare people is, we'll take away your trash service and we need it for our police protection. Instead of talking about $7 million over here for a pedestrian bridge, the $25 million that they brokered over here for the light rail that nobody really rides. So I think that we need to have some real honest conversations about this. Well, I didn't mean to go down that road, but but the point is so 55% here on your sales tax. Over here, keep the mill levy, but your price, the value of your home goes up. Your taxes go up. At some point in time, when is enough is enough? Karen, we've got just about 4 minutes left. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I just look at the trash thing, and they're paying for the trash in their taxes. And when people don't realize that somebody had to pay for it, it got paid there. Yeah. The beauty of free market capitalism is that there are trash companies out there that can come and provide you service that might actually be cheaper than when you're paying in your taxes, if you would get government out of that part of your day-to-day living. And I think returning to those basic principles of what is government and what is their purpose, and that they don't control our day-to-day living, will really provide us more freedom. It will provide us more wealth, and it'll get us back on track to the American ideal.
You sound like a founding father this morning.
Well, it's just because it's early.
Lauren Levy, your final thoughts.
I've just been having a lot of conversations with friends about getting more involved. Some of them are dealing with Cherry Creek school districts right now when the whole CRT thing, and they have an eighth grader about to go to high school, and they're really concerned, so they're starting to get involved. And a lot of times people won't get involved until it affects their home. My in-laws are in Dallas. They don't have a state income tax there.
Right.
They do have relatively high property taxes, but you look at their schools, and their schools look like kingdoms. And I just think it's a focus of theirs that they have a certain amount of dollars going this place. And if something's important to you, you need to get out and get involved. Like you're saying, Kim, find out what's in the budget. Find out where the money's really being spent in your community. And if you're not happy with it, at a grassroots level, get to work.
And I'm really excited because I think people are really paying attention. We are at a very concerning time in our country, but we have been in these times before. And we are Americans. Inherently, we understand just what you're talking about, Karen, is that we need to be able to make choices for ourselves. And that means the government is limited. They're limited in the amount of money they take out of our pocket. They're limited in the control that they have for our over our lives. And this whole masking thing of our kids, Jeffco, I guess, just came out and said that they're going to require masks. I mean, masks on two...
Douglas County just went up to age 11 last night.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that are just saying no. And in fact, I think some people are thinking about pulling their kids out of school and starting to maybe homeschool. And we need to have those choices. So, okay, final thought, Karen Levine.
I thought it, I gave you my final thought.
Is that the final thought?
I thought it was good. Yes.
It was good.
I think it was good. I think there's just so much on our plates as far as conversations we can have. Let's just keep having them and letting people know that we care and that they need to jump in and care too.
Okay. And Lauren?
I don't like this double final thought thing, Karen.
I don't either. What's she doing to us?
I got mixed up on my time. Sorry.
I already gasped my final thought.
Okay. What's your third thought?
And
with that, my friends, it is really important that we, A, be informed. And that is why we do this show, is to help you get your brains around these issues so that we can engage in the battle of ideas, so we don't have to engage in other kinds of battles out there. And it is important to be able to talk with our friends and our family and our neighbors about this. And so our quote for today is from James Madison. And he said, a man is said to have a right to his property. As a man is said to have a right in his property, he may be equally said to have a property in his rights. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, AM 560 and 100.7 FM.